Today is October 16th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $19,144.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
It's a lazy Sunday. We got some rain last night, yeah?
I didn't even notice.
No? Yeah, I saw it on the back patio. It looked like the porch was a little bit damp, if you will.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it was super lazy. I was dragging myself out of bed. You're lucky I showered.
I didn't even shower. I did brush my teeth, and I washed my face a little bit, but that was about it. And then I combed all my hair.
Tricky all day,
huh? I did a nourishing treatment for it. So soft and silky. So we've had... how long has it been since we recorded? It hasn't been... It's probably been about a week, yeah?
Yeah, it's been a little over a week.
A little bit over. We did see Bitcoin go down to... It looks like it... What is that? It went down to about... 18,000. That was right before CPI numbers came out. We were expecting, we were kind of expecting CPI numbers to determine what price was going to do. And this was prior or the day of CPI numbers coming out. And I think CPI may have came out a little bit higher than what people were projecting again. But I mean, those analysts, every time they're doing this, they've been off the mark on CPI. I think I don't know if it's wishful thinking on their part. Because if the CPI numbers come in lower, then the stock market can rally higher, right?
Right.
And it's not hitting the levels they keep on predicting. Because I think they thought CPI, and I think this came from the S&P, or maybe it was from the Dow, they were expecting CPI numbers to come in at around 8.0, 8% even, basically.
Yeah.
We ended up hitting 8.2, which is still it's a decrease, but it's not what they were hoping for, obviously. I think they were hoping for something greater, which basically means that we're going to be looking at interest rate hikes probably again in November and December, probably 3/4 basis points again, or 75 basis points again.
Seems better they go the full 100.
They don't seem to have the cojones to do the full 100, it seems like.
They don't seem to, but we'll see. I don't know. The thing is with CPI that they're looking at, well, when they look at the urban, people who live in urban settings, their CPI still increased.
Yeah.
And then if you look at all the, I went to the CPI Bureau Labor of Statistics and was looking at their charts, and they had two different charts. One chart was showing inflation with gas prices. And that one was going down because, you know, we've had a lull in, you know, fuel costs. I mean, we had an all-time high earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It seems to have been backing off. But if you look at the CPI chart that discounts fuel and gas and that type of thing, it's still going up. Yeah. And to make matters worse, OPEC is cutting back production. They announced it earlier this last week, and I mean, if that happens again and then fuel costs go through the roof, I mean, CPI, the inflation's going to go up even higher. There's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, because really the only thing, because I'm looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics also right now, I'm looking at that right now, and like food is up. It's not up a lot, but it's still up. It's up 0.8%. Looks like Energy is the only thing that's keeping the CPI from going crazy right now, right? Still. Yeah. And that's down 2.1% or negative 2.1. I don't know. Maybe I'm not actually looking at this correctly for percentages. But when you look at that for the year, I mean, energy is still one of the biggest hitters, right? It's up 19.8 for the year unadjusted. Mm-hmm. So far on these numbers. Food is up for the year 11.2. Let's see what else they have on here. Gas price, well, gas is up 18.2 for the year. I mean, it went down 4.9 for the month, but it didn't have as drastic of a drawdown as what it had in August. Because you got to remember, any of you that are looking at these numbers, this is, anytime we see the CPI numbers like that came out in October, we're looking at September's data. So it's always, it makes it wonky whenever you're looking at the numbers there. Because if you look for October numbers, you're going to see September numbers and you may get confused. But that's what that is. It's always a month behind. It's a lagging indicator, right? All items less food and energy, 6.6 is what it's up for the year. It increased 0.6 from August to September, which has been a steady increase for the past 2 months. August was 0.6, September is 0.6. And it looks like that's been holding strong, all other items like commodities and stuff like that. New vehicles are still up. Used cars are finally starting to drop down, but we've seen that for the past 3 months, it looks like. Apparel starting to go down. Medical care is starting to drop slightly. Shelter, which I'm guessing, I'm wondering if that's rent.
It's probably a combination of both. Ownership like, and...
Yeah, it's at 0.7, so that's been steadily increasing. That has not gone negative yet. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Really, the only thing that's kind of saved our butt so far is the energy markets are in the negatives. However, they've reduced way down. Like the amount of drop that we had from August to September. So in August, energy overall was down, was negative 5.0. In September, it's negative 2.1. Energy commodities was in August was negative 10.1. September was minus 4.7. Gasoline was negative 10.6. For September, it was negative 4.9. Yeah, so I mean, that's the only thing that really kept it tampered, right?
Yep, and then with OPEC cutting production, announcing that they're doing production cuts, that's out the window.
Yeah, those will probably start to flip positive.
Yeah, flip positive. And so even if the Fed, you know, let's say they do 100 basis points this cut, it's still not going to lower inflation, in my opinion. I don't think they have enough.
No.
Well, unless they collapse the economy.
But that's really the only way they can do it. They've got to drop. I mean, basically all those assets have got to drop. Get back to a real means of some type, you know, a real valuation. But that's going to be such a... And it'll probably go way below the valuation, right? Like when it crashes and then it'll have to return to a mean of some type.
But even then, they're not going to have the political capital to keep doing what they're doing if they crush the economy. I mean, they're going to basically... They're going to demand that... Well, the people and the politicians are going to demand that the printing presses crank back up. You know what I mean?
Well, and here's the interesting thing, right? Like, so we've got these numbers for October. We're probably not going to see an interest rate hike in October. By the time that would happen in November, elections would be over.
It's true.
Right? So after that, I mean, people are elected in. They won't care. We'll see what happens with the election. I mean... It's a interesting foray of what's going out there right now. I mean, we're currently seeing it because I wanted to pull this up because we've talked about the housing market lately too. As of October 13th, a 30-year fixed mortgage was around 6.92%, up almost 1%. And that's even up from 6.6% a week ago. So, I mean, you know, talking about that, like, I mean, people buying homes right now, like that's cutting into their homes budgets a lot.
For sure.
Like if you have X amount of money to spend on your home, those interest rates, the way that they are, you're buying so much interest more than home at that point. And maybe we've just been really spoiled with really low interest rates on mortgages, but
yes. Well, no, I mean, historically, 6% is still incredibly low. I mean, And that was artificially lowered during the, you know, the Bush years.
Yeah.
You know, 2001. Well, basically, they, after the dot-com bubble burst, they just cut interest rates and then created a housing bubble. But, you know, that's basically what we saw them at, you know, when interest rates are, when the, what, the 2008 crash, that's basically what interest rates were at. And then they took them even lower. So yeah. What we're seeing right now is still totally outside of normal economics. I mean, the fact that the Federal Reserve has this much power and has basically been doing this much damage this long, I mean,
yeah, it's, I'm been surprised. Almost, we're almost at a year now that they've been doing this now, right?
Yeah.
It's, well, I'm talking about, think about, I mean, you're talking, like, about since 2008, but I mean, yeah, just,
yeah. Well, if we just look at the past 20 years, I mean, the interest rates are still at all-time lows from everything before that.
Actually, I'm going to see if I can see that. I know we've talked about it before because we were talking about, like, just how ridiculous, so, at least from our vantage point, what the interest rates were.
Yep.
You know,
where in 1982, the Federal Reserve increased the interest rates up to 20%. During that high inflationary period. So, I mean, 20% is just insane. We can't even wrap our heads around that.
Yeah.
I mean, try buying a house, a car, anything at 20% interest rates. Those are the base interest rates, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at something higher.
I'm trying to find... I apologize for being quiet here. I'm trying to see, because I'm curious to see. Because we did see, yeah, it was just ridiculously high. Historical mortgage rate trends. I do not want a video. If this starts up a video, I'm going to cry. From 1972 to 2021, looks like the peak was in 1981, 16.63%. On an average 30-year fixed mortgage. 16%.
Yep.
I mean, I can't even...
You know, but the thing is when interest rates are like that, your mortgage payments tend to stay fairly close to what they initially were. So that means the principal that you're paying on was much lower.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, and that's the thing. If you were able to, like, say you paid extra on your mortgage, I mean, that's, like, the best investment you can make.
Yeah.
Paying down your mortgage. I mean, you can't get 16% return on anything these days.
2012, 2000, let's see what it was. Well, and I mean, even 2008, 2007, right before the crash or whatever, it was... 2007, it was 6.34%. So I guess we're kind of just getting back to that kind of that level again. I mean, obviously we're above that now because we're at 6.9. Yeah. And then it just, it continued to go down, 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 down until now. But I mean, now it went from basically 2021, it was at 2.96 and now we're back at 6.9. So that's a drastic increase. So don't look at refinancing if you have, if you're already in a good, if you're already below that, don't even bother, man. There's no point.
No.
Just gonna end up having to pay more and more and more. That's so crazy. Crazy, crazy. So we knew that, I mean, the numbers were gonna affect the Bitcoin market. It seems like they did for a short time, and then it rallied back up. I haven't seen what are the national markets doing? Or the big, your traditional markets? See, Dow Jones Industrial is down, it looks like 1.3%. The SPX is negative 2. The DXY, man, that dollar keeps on gaining in strength. It's up 0.75%. I mean, that's the crazy thing is, I mean, as you continue to see that dollar strengthen, that's what's driving everything else down, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's like it always seems like you want a strong dollar, but no, you really don't.
Not if you're looking to sell anything.
No.
If you're looking at buying stuff, then yes.
The euro is, it is taking a bath. It's at 0.97 cents to the dollar. It's down 0.5%. British pound is down 1.2%. It's still, I mean, it's still above a dollar. It's at 1.11. But, I mean, those, that's some hard hits to those markets, man. Because, I mean, and traditionally the euro was always valued a little bit higher than the dollar.
Sure. And it's a little bit higher.
A little bit higher. It was always pretty close. It was always like $1.10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And now it's fallen below that dollar parity. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we had talked about that last time where we were talking about how, you know, the UN was requesting the Fed to quit raising interest rates, and they're not going to listen to them. Apple's down 3.2%. Tesla's down 7.5%. Netflix is down 1.08%. Let's see, what is this? Gold is down 1.32%.
What is that now per ounce?
So it's still actually, I mean, it's still sitting okay. It's $1,643.
I know, it was getting up to almost $1,900 a few months ago, so
yeah,
it's taking a hit just like everything else.
Yeah. Oil is at $85 a barrel, it looks like, for WTI crude. It's down 4%. And Bitcoin is positive 0.43%. And Ether's up 0.71%. So, yeah, it's just, it's such a weird time. Weird time. I mean, and you don't know what's going to happen next. There continues to be like a lot of nuclear threat coming out of Russia. So we'll have to see what that's going to do. I don't know. I
don't know. When your president starts mentioning Armageddon, you know.
Yeah, that's like, come on, man. Like, that's not cool. You don't sit there and tell people that. But he also said his son died in, like, a war.
Well, he died in Iraq.
Yeah, even though it was brain cancer, right?
Well, he probably got brain cancer from Iraq, but that's a whole other story.
Was his son in the military?
Yeah, his son was in the military, and it was some of the activities that were going on there. The cancer rates in especially like the certain groups were through the roof.
And that was because they are we talking about the first Gulf conflict?
No, the second one.
Second one, because I know the first Gulf conflict. I've known some guys that came back from that one, and they their children that were born seemed to have some disorders, and they think a lot of it may have been some sort of biological that they were exposed to.
Yeah, they call it Gulf War syndrome.
Yeah.
Back then, yeah.
I don't know. Crazy times. No, there was...
Yeah.
No, what were you going to say?
Whole other story. Yeah, it's a whole other story, but that's... Yeah, there's some other things that happened, you know, especially like depleted uranium in the shells that were used in Iraq.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things that were happening. So, yeah, he's not with it. And the other point I want to make is, you know, it sometimes felt pretty crazy when President, you know, Trump was president, and his Twitter, it felt like he was going towards Armageddon, but he'd always like, it seemed like he was just picking a fight with him, and then he'd do a, you know, with Kim Jong-un, he was calling him Rocket Man or something like that for a little bit.
Well, and I think the big thing with Trump, though, that was that he was... So here's the difference from my point of view, right? Like, he was proactive in his taunting, you know, whereas right now Biden is being very reactive to the taunting coming from Russia with Putin, right?
Yes.
Where as soon as there was any type of clamoring or anything like that from any of our possible enemies, like, Trump was quick to just, like, you know, he wasn't doing the talk softly. He was like, okay, bring it.
Yeah. But then he was also more proactive in setting up talks with the other side.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I mean, with Iran, I was about shitting bricks when he killed that military leader. It was basically on Iran to not escalate things, and they decided not to. Thank goodness.
Yeah. No, for sure. And yeah, I mean, and that's, and by no means, I still go back to saying, like, Trump was kind of a douche, but, well, he was, like, he was one, but
yes.
I mean, just Biden, I worry about his mental stability. I really would love we need a good, like, general type person in office right now is what I think we need, but I don't think
I agree.
Get that.
I agree.
We need somebody that knows how to walk with a swagger and be able to say some things without offending too many people, but at the same time get a point across.
Exactly. Walk softly with a big stick, but yeah. Don't be so quick to use it.
Right, exactly. I mean, we need to remind people that we are one of the strongest militaries in the world, or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, if interest rates keep going up, I don't think we can afford a good chunk of our budget, which, you know, about a fourth of it, somewhere in that area, goes to the military as far as our government goes. So
yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see indeed. There was just a few things. I mean, obviously there's a lot of high Bitcoin price predictions going into the future. They're saying like $1 million Bitcoin before 2030. This one is actually saying it's going to hit $1 billion before 2030. And that, you know, that goes back to, if that happens, that means your hyperinflation thing has happened, right?
Yeah. That's not a good sign.
No. I mean, $1 million, I could see that happening without the hyperinflation, but actually $1 billion per Bitcoin. That's, to me, that would spell hyperinflation is in full effect. Trying to see if there's anything else major. Robert Kiyosaki talks about how, you know, people buying, he's basically been a big proponent of buying gold, silver, and Bitcoin, like stocking up on that. Like he wanted to get it down to a certain price before he would back up the truck, basically. Crypto trader who called for a collapse predicts a 248% rally. Not a shocker. I mean, like I said, it's everybody's predicting big rises. It's just the question ultimately comes to when. When is that going to happen? Like they can sit there and make all kinds of crazy claims. I've heard consistently with the way the inflation rate has been, I want to say it was like $12 to $14 million per Bitcoin within the next 5 years. However, I mean that's kind of a little bit tighter of a timeline, but that would basically you would be overtaking gold as a reserve asset, and just the finite amount of Bitcoin would finally be realized to the masses. Like they would truly understand how finite that amount is. And that's something people still don't understand. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody that I talked to. I had talked to him about buying Bitcoin back when it was $7,000, back when we were going on our initial rise back up in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, so does that split? Like, does that split? And I'm like, no, it's not a stock. Like it's hard for people to fathom what Bitcoin is still.
I mean, but it's hard to blame them. I mean, everything else in our markets, like it just grows and then they split it, you know, especially stocks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that's genuinely hard like that.
Yeah.
I mean, even gold, you can go mine more gold, but Bitcoin, there's only going to be 21 million ever.
Yeah, that's going to exist ever, ever, ever. And that's, I was trying to get that point across to him. I said, you know, the halving, as those come up, I said, the next ones we're looking at is 2024. It's going to go from basically 6 to 3. And then in 2028, it's going to go from 3 to 1.5 approximately, maybe a little bit of some change more. And then after that, it's going to be less than a Bitcoin in 2032.
Every block.
Yep.
So, and that's the complete opposite of the, you know, stock splitting. It's like, no, you only get half of this every, you know, and that's scheduled. And it's been following that schedule since the beginning.
Yeah. Like a clock. I mean, it's Well, better than a clock. Because batteries will die in clocks. But no, that thing has been churning away, and it's just continued to do what it's meant to do. We had a lot of, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, we had a lot of exchange hacks that had taken place. Even Binance got hacked again.
Really?
Yeah. And it, the one from Binance, I don't have a whole lot about it up on the screen, but the one from Binance, it sounds like it was an inside thing, like somebody within got it, because they're not too creeped out by it. Like, it seems like they know where the money's at, so they'll probably be able to get that back.
That's good.
Yeah. It wasn't Bitcoin. It was one of their coins, or Binance coin, or whatever they've got on there, so... But that's the thing, like I say, I mean, the media will always spread that as fear, like, oh, the crypto markets got attacked. It's like, well, not the markets, it was an exchange that got attacked, and it was for this coin, you know, it wasn't, but they always lump in Bitcoin with all that stuff to cause more fear. So people that don't know are like, oh, it's easily hacked. It's like, no, it's not. I mean, you personally may be easily hacked, but not the Bitcoin network.
Absolutely.
Cyber hornets, man, they're protecting you. I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to add on to today?
Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the market closes at this week. I wanted to see, have we gotten Q3 numbers yet? Or have they started to come out for GDP?
I haven't seen those, but those should be coming out soon.
Yeah, I would assume so. We're already entering our... Are we just now entering our second? Well, we're entering our third week of October.
Yeah, third week of October. So that should have come out recently, at least. And I don't know. I wonder if they'll still be able to call it not a recession.
Let's see. Wait. We may actually have. They're showing positive GDP growth.
Are they?
Is this accurate?
What is that from?
I'm looking to see. So, but that's why I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from, who this or what this is from.
It usually takes them a month to put that info out, right?
I would think so. So here is, it looks like they're estimates. I don't know if this is actually data yet. Yeah, it's still, it should be, well, this is only showing for Q1 and Q2 both were negative. We still don't have data for Q3. They're estimating, and I don't know how good this is going to be, but if they're estimating a positive 2.9% growth in GDP for Q3, and it does not hit that, that's going to rock the market as well.
Yeah.
Is this one?
Well, safe? I wonder if Biden can ask for the Bureau of Labor Statistics to put that info out after the election.
I don't know what they're waiting on here, man. Like, they redefined what a recession was as soon as like Q2 numbers were about to come out. They're like, oh no, it's not, we're gonna redefine it, it don't matter, none.
Nothing to see over here.
Many talks to talk about now. I mean, at some point they're gonna have to be like, okay fine, it's a recession, but they just don't want to admit it yet. I don't know. Yep. Crazy times. So continue to stack stats, not financial advice.
Do it anyways.
Do what you will. I mean, unless you've got like, if you got a bunch of dry powder sitting on the sidelines, you want to try and catch that falling knife. If it ever drops below, you know, consistently below the $19,000, $18,000 mark, by all means, try and do it. But that's a dangerous game to play. I always would recommend dollar cost averaging. So... That's
for sure.
That's all I've got.
All righty. Take it easy.
We'll talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening.